Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. XTO distributes hand sanitizer to first responders by Ruth Campbell. The valuable commodity of hand sanitizer was distributed to entities from a 13-county area, courtesy of XTO Energy, at the City of Odessa Purchasing Warehouse Tuesday. Courtney Wardlaw, Public and Governmental Affairs Advisor for XTO Energy, said 1,920 gallons of isopropyl alcohol medical-grade hand sanitizer was donated to frontline medical and emergency responders. Everyone picked up their supplies from the warehouse. Sanitizer has become a rare item during this time of COVID-19. The City of Odessa was gracious enough to accept delivery from our Baton Rouge facility of the hand sanitizer, and we've got emergency management coordinators from all the counties that are stopping by the city today to pick up their hand sanitizer and take it back for their emergency response and their frontline medical workers, Wardlaw said. This includes firefighters, paramedics, and police. Each entity was getting a different amount of hand sanitizer, but the hospitals got 48 5-gallon containers each. Then the amounts they received depended on their need. ExxonMobil was able to retool our Baton Rouge facility to make 160,000 gallons of hand sanitizer that we're donating in Louisiana, Texas, and New Mexico, Wardlaw said. She added that this is an amazing opportunity to pitch in. This is just a small thing that we can do to help them that makes a huge difference for those that are on the front lines fighting this pandemic. These are unprecedented times that we're in, and this is a small way to be able to do something to help when most of us feel helpless during this time, she added. Odessa Police Department spokesman Corporal Steve Lasore said OPD was very appreciative of XTO for the contribution because hand sanitizer is something officers rely on all the time. People forget that as officers, we use hand sanitizer all the time. Regardless of if there's a coronavirus or not, we're using it constantly, cleaning our hands because we come in contact with people all day long, Lasore said. A few weeks ago, he said OPD was short of hand sanitizer, but fortunately, the community has been a big support. We're just very thankful to everyone who has stepped up during this time because it's something that we lean on heavily, Lasore said. As officers, we go all over the place. We come in contact with people all the time, all day long. We go inside the hospitals. We go inside of the jails. We go everywhere, so it's something that we need to use frequently. Officers are encouraged to wear masks and gloves and practice social distancing. Hand sanitizer is kept in patrol units all the time. Sometimes we're reusing it every minute, but it just depends because we come in contact with so many different people. We use it all the time. This is something we'll definitely use for quite a while, Lasore said. Kayla Hogan, an engineer with Odessa Fire Rescue, also expressed appreciation for the donation. The stuff's hard to find at a store for personal use, let alone for work use, so it does come in handy. All these big companies reaching out and donating this stuff really makes us feel good and helps us do our job to the best that we can, Hogan said. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County confirmed cases, 85. Ector County negative, 1,233 out of 1,387 tested, with 69 pending, 4 deaths. Midland County, 91 confirmed, 8 deaths. Texas, 33,369 confirmed, total Texas deaths, 906. U.S. cases, 1.23 million total confirmed, and 71,724 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site. Podcast. A weekly podcast, Center Solutions, COVID edition, will introduce guest Dr. Summer Merritt. Merritt is a co-founder of Protect Our Frontline West Texas, a coalition of health care workers in Midland and Odessa who are banding together with the community to battle the spread of COVID-19 in West Texas. On Thursday, Big 2 News KMID Centers Solutions COVID Edition segment will talk about the frontline heroes during the Good Morning Basin show with Amanda Mason. Centers Solution podcast is available on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, etc. For more information on free sessions for qualifying healthcare workers and first responders, call 580-7006 in Odessa or 570-1084 in Midland. Quick Hits, digital artwork. Sol Ross State University digital art student Gerardo Sanchez is currently showcasing a series of science fiction-inspired digital paintings for his Bachelor of Fine Arts capstone exhibition at https://blogs.solross.edu/journey. Sanchez has used digital art tools to imagine and illustrate alien worlds and elements of the unusual and fantastic on Earth. For more information, contact Sanchez at jerrysanchez739@gmail.com. Reunion. The 2nd Indian Head Division Association is searching for anyone who served in the Army's 2nd Infantry Division at any time. For information about the association and our 99th annual reunion from September 23rd to 27th in Kansas City, Missouri, visit www.2ida.org/99th-annual-reunion or contact Bob Haynes at 2IDAHQ@comcast.net or call 224-225-1202. MCH Benefit. The Kendra Scott of Midland will be donating a portion of their sales to Medical Center Health System for COVID-19 relief through Sunday. 100% of all proceeds from the State of Texas Charm and 20% of all proceeds from Midland curbside and in-store appointment purchases will benefit MCHS. In addition, as a special thank you during Nurses Week, nurses will receive a 20% discount if they shop between May 4th and May 6th. As always, nurses receive a 15% discount year-round. Customers can make their purchases at kendrascott.com, which will then give instructions on how to pick up their items at curbside. The Kendra Scott location in Midland can be found at the Commons at North Park off of Loop 250. Live stream graduations. Graduation ceremonies for Ector County ISD's Class of 2020 will be virtual this year, but they will contain some of the same elements students would have experienced in a face-to-face event. Dates for the graduations are May 22nd and May 23rd, and they will be broadcast at the same time they would actually have been held, Superintendent Scott Murray said. Permian is on May 22nd, and Odessa High School is May 23rd. The graduations would be live if not for the coronavirus. The one for Odessa Collegiate Academy is at 10 a.m. May 22nd. The one for OC Techs at noon May 22nd. George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa at 2 p.m. May 22nd. And PHS at 8:30 p.m. May 22nd. Odessa High School's graduation will be at 8:30 p.m. on May 23rd. Hamburger Thank You. Carroll's Ambulance Incorporated, TAC Med Ambulance, First Flight Air, and other community leaders are having a thank you meal for Odessa Fire and Rescue, the Ector County Sheriff's Office, and Odessa Police Department starting at 11:30 a.m. Thursday at the Central Fire Station, 1100 West 2nd Street. Chips and a drink are included, and it is pickup only. From the inside pages of Section A in the Odessa American. Guest View. Reopening dates scheduled by Abbott, by State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Breaking. Governor Greg Abbott spoke to the people of Texas a few moments ago about developments in his ongoing response to COVID-19 in our state. The governor made a huge announcement that barbershops, hair salons, nail salons, gyms, and others have reopening dates scheduled. In my continued effort to be transparent, I want to communicate the major takeaways from Governor Abbott's speech. 1. Testing has ramped up, thanks in large part to the Texas National Guard's mobile testing team. 2. As of May 4th, less than 5% of those tested are testing positive for COVID-19. Of those confirmed positive cases, only 10% need to be treated in a hospital. 3. According to Governor Abbott, Texas is fully capable of being able to manage the health care needs of everybody who contracts COVID-19. 4. Texas, he says, has also shown that certain businesses have been able to operate while simultaneously containing the spread of COVID-19. Social distancing, sanitary practices have been key to striking that balance. 5. Governor Abbott clarified that weddings are treated the same as worship services and funerals under his executive order. The governor encourages 6 feet spacing between individuals from different households and to make special accommodations for vulnerable populations. 6. Texans are still permitted to visit parks, lakes, rivers, and beaches, but should limit contact with others who are not part of the same household. Face coverings are not required anywhere in Texas, including state parks. 7. Governor Abbott continues to work with his team of medical advisors to look specifically at opening barbershops, hair salons, nail salons, and tanning salons can open with social distancing and one-on-one service beginning Friday, May 8th. Guidelines will be forthcoming. 8. Gyms will be able to open at 25% capacity starting on Monday, May 18th. Locker rooms and showers will remain closed, and gym equipment must be thoroughly disinfected, and social distancing must be practiced inside the facility. 9. Governor Abbott indicated that surge response teams are being organized to address COVID-19 flare-ups that may occur anywhere in Texas. More news will be headed our way in the coming days, and I will continue to keep you posted here with updates as I receive them. Overall, I believe this is very positive. It isn't as swift as many of us would like, but having these dates on the calendar is a huge development in the reopening of Texas. We still have work to do. I'm staying on my mission to make sure our views and voices are echoed in Austin.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, May 6th, 2020. Section A. Centers for Children and Families offer free sessions to healthcare workers and first responders by Michael Bauer. As Texas and the rest of the world tries to inevitably make the return to normal life as best as it can, from the COVID-19 pandemic, the return to normalcy will still be difficult for some people. Centers for Children and Families in Midland and Odessa are offering 2 free sessions to healthcare workers and first responders fighting COVID-19. Center's Executive Director, Christy Edwards, said she realized early on about the need to support these workers with mental health care services. It's not the first time that they've offered free counseling to first responders, doing the same thing after the Odessa and Midland mass shootings back in August. So we made that decision back in September when we had the shootings in Odessa, and we did the same thing then, Edwards said. We felt that it was important that people who were on the front lines or people who were willing to risk their lives to take care of us, that we needed to take care of them as well. We have to take care of their emotional and well-being. What we consider first responders, we consider hospital workers and anyone who's working in a doctor's office or EMT, policemen, sheriff's deputies, and anyone who's going into these situations where it's possible that they can be exposed to the virus, Edwards said. While it may be part of their occupations, Edwards said that with first responders and healthcare workers, jobs can come with a certain level of anxiety. They're putting themselves at risk, and it's not the same as being on the front line in Afghanistan or being shot at, but people are dying, Edwards said. They do have to have that in the back of their minds. They're probably thinking, is this the time I'm going to get the virus? And am I going to outlive it? And they get that anxiety level, and that can affect their ability to sleep or make good decisions if you're not able to process what those emotions mean. It doesn't take it away, but it'll help you to think clearer and to make better decisions. Centers also has a weekly podcast called Centers Solutions COVID Edition that will introduce special guest Dr. Summer Merritt, who is a co-founder of an organization called Protect Our Frontline West Texas, which is a coalition of healthcare workers in Midland and Odessa who are banding together with the community to battle the spread of the coronavirus in West Texas. Edwards said that Centers has been doing podcasts for about a year now. We collaborate with the Recording Library of West Texas, Edwards said. We have gone to other nonprofits and people who are connected to mental health in some ways, and we have them come on to the podcast. We figured out that there's a mental health connection to everything everyone does. Over the year, we've collaborated with other nonprofits and doctors and teachers and anybody that what they do affects the mental health of the Permian Basin. The podcasts are available on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify. Those who have more information on the free sessions for qualifying healthcare workers and first responders can give Centers a call at either one of their locations at 432-570-1084 in Midland and 432-580-7006 in Odessa. Hot Summer Nights and Juneteenth Events Canceled by Tony Venegas. It's been a hectic last few weeks for Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm. He and other leaders from the cultural institutions in the Permian Basin have had to shift summer schedules and simply just make sense of everything affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Odessa Arts announced some of those changes Monday in a release, which includes canceling all dates for Hot Summer Nights in June. Joanne Davenport Littleton, president of the Black Cultural Council of Odessa, also announced that the annual Juneteenth celebration is canceled. The celebration was originally scheduled from June 18th through 21st. The Summer Sunday Lawn Concert, scheduled for June and July at the Museum of the Southwest in Midland, is being postponed until August at the earliest. Hamm said it was a difficult decision to make together, but says it was the right one to make. We wanted to present this announcement with a unified front, he said. We want to make sure that we're all acting in the best interest of our communities. The announcement also stated that the July dates for Hot Summer Nights are under review, with a final decision on those dates coming at the end of the month. Hamm said that in order to have the possibility of having those events go on as scheduled, he would look at a variety of factors, including seeing a reduction in the number of cases and seeing how other arts organizations across the state are coping with the outbreak. We put on events as an arts agency, from concerts, exhibits, and things that people come to go see, Ham said. So it's difficult for us to not want to do that. And we have to look at ways to continue to create our programming in a safe manner. He added that putting on an event is not the same as a store or a restaurant opening in a limited capacity, as some businesses chose to do. So starting May 1st, as some businesses chose to do so starting May 1st. In the end, he says the top priority has to be the health and safety of those who attend. It's got to be where the community feels comfortable coming to your event, he said. For example, with an outdoor concert, there's not a lot of ways to create an environment where you're not in close quarters. As for events past the summer, Ham says that he and the other leaders of these cultural groups are all looking at different contingency plans to allow for events to happen safely in the fall and over the course of the rest of the year. Among the factors that they are looking at include making adjustments to the number of people who are allowed to attend and different ways of presenting. He credited places like the Ellen Noel Art Museum that has moved to more online programming. At the same time, he understands that there are additional challenges to balance presenting virtually compared to reopening physically. In this world of streaming content, if the viewer has a choice between streaming a new series on Netflix and streaming content from a local provider, we're smart enough to know that Netflix is going to win most of the time, Ham said. Ultimately, he said that the main goal remains the same, to reopen to the public when it's safe to do so. We all want our patrons and community to be safe, he said, and we want to welcome you with open arms when it's time for you to come back. West Texas Native Takes on Dean's Role by Ruth Campbell. Having lived out of state for many years, West Texas native Deborah York Edwards has come home to take on the role of Regional Dean Assistant Program Director of the Doctor of Physical Therapy Program in the School of Health Professions at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Edwards, who is from Kermit and graduated from Lee High School in Midland, lived in Chicago, New Orleans, and Dallas before coming back. She became a full-time faculty member in January 2015 and assumed her current role in February. Standing 6 feet tall, she played on the inaugural Midland College basketball team and went to Howard Payne University to play basketball and for her undergraduate degree. She graduated with her master's in physical therapy from the Texas Tech Health Sciences campus in Lubbock and worked as a physical therapist for 18 years. I'm really excited to be in this role because I feel like I have a good deal of ownership for this area, she said. Edwards said she's hoping to raise awareness about the PT program and the School of Health Professions. Historically, she said, if you look at healthcare access in West Texas, 19 counties didn't have a physician at all. The 61st Texas Legislature created the TTUHSC School of Medicine, she said. And that's where the Lubbock, Odessa, and Amarillo campus came into being. But the School of Health Professions and the DPT program came a little bit down the line. In 1994, the Odessa campus opened for a Master's of Physical Therapy class. We've actually been in this area for a long time, and so all of the students who matriculate the Texas Tech Health Science Center Physical Therapy program will start in Lubbock. Then about a fourth of them come to Odessa, and a fourth of them go to Amarillo and about half stay at the Lubbock campus, and it's a block schedule, Edwards said. It's basically one seamless program where all of the lectures are live and broadcast by our technology, where it's basically almost like you're lecturing all the time, she added. It's an interactive video broadcasting system that allows all the campuses to participate in the lectures and the meetings live, and then all campuses have their own interactive labs. The whole mission was to create these three campuses so that we increase healthcare education in West Texas. When we've gone back and done studies, 30% of our DPT graduates actually stay in West Texas and pursue jobs out here. So we're meeting the mission of increasing healthcare access by providing healthcare education in West Texas. The medical profession didn't always seem like the path Edwards would take. I actually hate blood, like viscerally hate blood. If I cut my finger, I have many a time hit the floor and passed out because I see my own blood. That didn't seem to lend itself well to going into nursing or medicine. I played basketball for Midland Lee, and then in college, it just seemed sort of like the perfect segue to work in the healthcare field and use exercise as a way of healing people, Edwards said. The School of Health Professions has 20 different graduate and undergraduate programs across five discipline areas, all leading directly to careers in critical segments of the healthcare industry, Edwards said in an email. Five different departments are included in this school, and there are more than 1,800 total students in the School of Health Professions across many of the TTUHSC regional campuses, including Odessa. Odessa is home to the Permian Basin's branch of the Doctor of Physical Therapy, which is part of the Department of Rehabilitation Sciences. The physical therapy program is a three-year doctoral program that is simultaneously and synchronously housed on all three campuses of Lubbock, Amarillo, and Odessa. Therefore, three campuses are considered to be one and the same program, she wrote. This past cycle, we had over 700 applicants apply for 72 spots, and we interviewed 25 to 300 competitive candidates, and that occurred on all three campuses. Here in Odessa, we interviewed anywhere from 75 to 100 candidates, and the interview spots are competitive, Edwards said. She said 72 students a year matriculate, and 18 a year come to Odessa. She added that the approach to admissions is holistic, but it takes into account test scores, GPAs, essays, recommendation letters, academic performance history, and interviews. I really enjoy number one, trying to make sure that the curriculum is going in a direction which is responsive to our current healthcare needs. And what I mean by that is there is a big emphasis on growth and development for telehealth and informatics. So just keeping our curriculum relevant for the healthcare industry in general, I think it's really exciting. And it's something that I get to learn something new all the time. So I enjoy that challenge of it, Edwards said. She spent about 10 years in New Orleans, primarily working for the Tulane Hospital and clinics. She was in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina. I got about 5 feet of water in my home, so I evacuated and lived with family in Dallas. Then I moved back and sold that home. I loved being a part of sort of the revival of New Orleans, and I'll always love the New Orleans people because of that, she said. She was on the board of directors of Luke's House Clinic, which is still going strong in New Orleans. There's something about a community in an area going through an incredibly hard time that actually bonds them. and makes them much closer. You can have a lot more ownership to an area when you survive a storm together, and I was thinking about that. It's not anything that I would ever want to happen to any area that I live in, but I think it can really bring out the best in people, and you can see some remarkable qualities emerge and a lot of charity that comes out of a really hard time. After Katrina, we had more 501c3s in New Orleans than had ever been in existence in New Orleans, and they were necessary, Edward said. A lot of them have sort of dropped off because the need isn't there anymore, but it was really beautiful to be a part of a community where we just saw people rise up and help each other and be innovative with plugging holes where basically state government and federal government couldn't provide for the needs of a lot of the different populations in New Orleans, she added. She and her husband, Joel, a pediatric dentist, have a one-year-old son. As a graduate of the TTUHSC physical therapy program, Dr. Deborah York brings unique perspectives to the School of Health Professions as both a student and faculty member. Dr. Edwards is a staunch advocate for students at the Odessa campus and has a passion for the university. We are excited for the future of our program in the Permian Basin under her guidance and look forward to her leadership. Dondra Sechrist, TTUHSC School of Health Professions Dean, said in an email.
Odessa American Death Notices, Wednesday, May 6th. Elton Eugene Brownlee. Elton Eugene Brownlee, 89, of Odessa, died Friday, May 1st, in Midland. Graveside service is scheduled for 10 a.m. May 6th at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Jess Little is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Patricia Ann Campbell. Patricia Ann Campbell, 87, of Odessa, died Thursday, April 30th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday, May 8th, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home Chapel. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Pastor Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. David Hernandez. David Hernandez, 69, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 3rd, in Odessa. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Lillian Ruth Greer Leslie. Lillian Ruth Greer Leslie, 86, of Lexington, died Friday, May 1st, in Lexington. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. Thursday, May 7th, at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Jerry Upton is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. L. Daniel M. Rodriguez, Chihuahua, Mexico. L. Daniel M. Rodriguez, 67, of Odessa, died Monday, April 27th, in Chihuahua, Mexico. Mass will be celebrated at 9 a.m. Wednesday, May 6th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Interment follows at Odessa 2 Garden section of Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. Farmers Market to resume. The Midland Downtown Farmers Market resumes Saturday at the Museum of the Southwest. The market will be open 8 to 11 a.m. and will operate under coronavirus-related guidelines. Wearing masks is recommended. Vendors will have masks for sale. Most vendors will accept cash or debit credit cards, but if possible, use contactless payment such as Venmo, PayPal, or Apple Pay. Use hand sanitizer that will be available at each vendor's booth. Practice social distancing 6 feet while in line and throughout the market, and do not congregate in the open spaces between booths. In addition, there will not be restrooms for shoppers' use. MOSC announces 2020-2021 season. The Midland Odessa Symphony and Chorale has announced the schedule for the 2020-2021 season. MOSC's 58th year kicks off October 10 with Pops and Family Series, E.T. the Extraterrestrial in concert. Other concerts in that series are Sounds of the Season, Sinatra and Beyond, featuring Tony Desserre, and The Music of Queen with Michael Schotten. The Masterworks series begins in November with soprano Barbara Padilla of America's Got Talent. Also on the schedule are Mostly Mozart, featuring principal oboe Karen Crutchfield, and the series finale featuring cellist David Ricciero. For ticket and subscription information, visit MOSC.org. In the event of cancellations because of COVID-19, full refunds will be issued, according to a press release from MOSC. Raising Cane's continues fundraising. Raising Cane's is continuing to support healthcare workers in the communities where the chain operates. Nearly 470 of the Chicken Fingers restaurants will be selling neck gaiters for $6.99 plus tax. All of the net proceeds of sales at the Midland location, off Loop 250 near HEB, will be donated to Midland Memorial Hospital, according to a press release from the chain. Raising Cane's, which has not yet reopened its dining rooms, has raised almost $500,000 in support of the nation's healthcare workers, according to the release. For more information, see RaisingCane's.com. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. Albertsons Market, 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., 1002 Andrews Highway. For shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday, 3317 North Midland Drive. For shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday, HEB, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Customers 60+, orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 6 a.m. to midnight. For shoppers 60+, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., 7 to 8 a.m. curbside delivery pickup for first responders and customers 60+, with disabilities or at risk. Today in Texas history, 5 years ago, former White House Speaker Jim Wright, 92, died in Fort Worth. Today in history. Today is Wednesday, May 6th, the 127th day of 2020. There are 239 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On May 6, 1915, Babe Ruth hit his first major league home run as a player for the Boston Red Sox. On this day, in 1937, the hydrogen-filled German airship Hindenburg caught fire and crashed while attempting to dock at Lakehurst, New Jersey. 35 of the 97 people on board were killed, along with a crewman on the ground. In 1954, medical student Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile during a track meet in Oxford, England, in 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. In 1994, former Arkansas State worker Paula Jones filed suit against President Bill Clinton, alleging he had sexually harassed her in 1991. Jones reached a settlement with Clinton in November 1998. In 2004, President George W. Bush apologized for the abuse of Iraqi prisoners by American soldiers, calling it a stain on our country's honor. He rejected calls for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's resignation. 5 years ago, the NFL released a report on Deflategate that stopped short of calling Patriots quarterback Tom Brady a cheater, but did call some of his claims implausible and left little doubt that he'd had a role in having footballs deflated before New England's AFC title game.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Tuesday, May 5th. Online sales help business during pandemic by Michael Bauer, accompanied by a photograph with the caption, Justice, a tabby at Ye Olde Bookworm in Odessa, sits next to a pile of books on a counter Thursday. Dorothy Bennett hasn't seen a surge in online sales right now like she has in the last 29 years, but it's helped her bookstore stay in business during the COVID-19 pandemic. other small businesses have had to adapt in some other way, and Bennett, who owns Ye Olde Bookworm in downtown Odessa, is no different. While some small bookstores in the area have been closed due to the coronavirus, Bennett's store has managed to stay open, albeit with reduced hours. Through the door, it's been very slow, Bennett said. I may have had anywhere from 1 to 4 people a day. Most of those are my standard customers. The ones that my everyday, all-the-time customers that have been coming for 29 years. I'm here to make sure that they have their reading needs met. During COVID-19, her store hours have been cut back to 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Her normal hours were 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. But through her store's website, they've been able to keep going. That's what's helping us pay the bills and pay the lights and the water bill, the gas bill and the phone bill, and feeding the cats. That's helped keep the doors open, Bennett said. Bennett has owned Ye Olde Bookworm since its opening in 1991. In the past, prior to COVID-19, Bennett said her store would send items that had been ordered online to the post office about 3 times a week. Now it's been almost every day, as online sales have been 80 to 90% better than it has been in the past. Normally we go to the post office 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Bennett said. Monday we send out 22 packages. Wednesday it was about 2 or 3. It goes in cycles like that. Readers across the country have found themselves with more time on their hands with quarantine and shelter-in-place orders, allowing them more opportunities to catch up on reading. But as far as what specific genre people have been ordering from the Bookworm, Bennett says it's been a mixed bag. There are some political and some history, Bennett said. There's a lot of escapism. There's a lot of straight fiction. There's a lot of different stuff. A few textbooks, but not many because we don't carry a lot of textbooks. But there have been some textbooks for math and science. I've sold quite a few classics. I'm assuming that's for people who have kids in school. Bennett has seen a lot of music books being sent out through orders. I've sold a lot of music books too, like how to play the guitar and different types of books that have the music itself, Bennett said. Someone is really brushing up on guitar. They're going all over the United States. I've sent books to Washington and Oregon. I've sent a bunch to Alaska, one to Vermont, and a couple to Maine and Florida, etc. There have been a couple of reasons as to why Bennett has shipped out books to Hawaii and Alaska. In Alaska and Hawaii, I would imagine it's because they do not have the opportunity to have all the different kinds of books that we have in the continuous United States, because so many of those books have got to be imported to them from the lower 48, Bennett said. As for the continental United States, I'm sure it's due to people being kept indoors with shelter in place. There's all kinds of reasons for that. As for what books Bennett would recommend for anyone during quarantine, she doesn't have one in particular. For myself, I've been reading The Mysteries of Martha's Vineyard, Bennett said. They're an inspirational Christian type of fiction. They're just a simple, stress-free reading. But I do read other things. I have read apocalyptic books, but I'm not in the mood to read those currently. There are too many things, and when you read those kinds of books, you know, in your mind, that something like that could happen. I'd rather have something that is just easy and speaks to the good spirit, and I think a lot of people may want to read mysteries, or they may want to just read an action adventure, but they just want escapism. Mycobacterium avium complex. To your good health for Tuesday. Dear Dr. Roach, my husband is being tested to confirm the pulmonologist's tentative diagnosis of Mycobacterium avium complex. He was a relatively healthy person up to this point, so could you please explain how he could have contracted this? The prognosis does not look good. Are there any new treatments available? Dr. Roach writes, Mycobacterium avium complex is caused by a group of bacteria that are closely related to tuberculosis and cause pulmonary disease. In men, it often occurs with pre-existing lung disease, especially from smoking. In older women, it more often occurs without any known lung disease. It is thought to be acquired by inhalation from water sources. Treatment is with multiple antibiotics, generally for 6 months or longer. The prognosis is good for people with sensitive bacteria, but disease from resistant bacteria is hard to treat. Consultation with an expert is necessary in such cases, and surgery is an occasional option. Although new antibiotics are always being developed, I am unaware of any imminent breakthrough.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Active pescatarian is troubled. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 56-year-old female with very high lipoprotein A, and I am wondering if I should be as concerned about it as I am. I became aware of it in 2018 after I was tested as part of an executive-type physical. After almost 2 years of looking for a doctor to take my concern seriously, I was tested again. I also had a carotid ultrasound and a stress test, treadmill. Both were apparently okay. I'm now taking blood pressure medication. I'm very active, not overweight, and a pescatarian for the past 28 years. My mother, father, and brother died of heart attacks. Much of the research I have done is alarming. How concerned should I be, and should people be tested? ML. Answer. LP little a, lipoprotein A, is a risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Several mechanisms are known that link LP little a with increased blockages in blood vessels, as well as blood clots, both of which are instrumental for heart attacks and stroke. Unfortunately, there are no known treatments that reduce LP little a that have also been proven to reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke. As such, people with high levels of LP little a are recommended for other therapies that reduce heart disease risk. Statins, although they tend to increase LP little a, nonetheless seem to reduce heart disease and stroke risk anyway. So I agree with the rosuvastatin, Crestor, you take. Your LDL level is below 70, so most experts would probably hold off on additional therapies for you at this time.
Dear Abby, reconnecting with son's dad makes recent divorcee giddy. Dear Abby, I just divorced my husband. We were together for 13 years. The last three weren't great. After my divorce, which was grueling, I reconnected with my son's father, and we are in love. Our romance was doomed before it started back then. Our son is now 18, and we are in our 40s. Today, our situation is very different. We are both doing well financially and individually. We are blissfully happy and don't rehash the past. I feel like we were interrupted when we were young. Am I crazy for feeling he is the one? I really want it to work. In Love in Nevada. Dear In Love, you aren't crazy, but you are recently divorced and didn't mention how long you have been reconnected with your son's father. I urge you to put the brakes on and take the time to get to know each other again. I also think you should rehash the past, because unless the problems of years ago are resolved, they may be repeated. Time will tell if he is indeed the one, and fortunately, you both have plenty of it. I wish you a happy ending. Dear Abby, I have 5 nieces and nephews. With the exception of 1 nephew, my wife and I have attended all of their weddings. They were all invited to and attended our daughter's wedding. The last nephew is being married next year. All of his cousins are invited, with the exception of my daughter. Why? Even though she is the same age as the rest of his cousins, he says he doesn't know her that well. Should my wife and I attend his wedding? If we do, I will insist he invite my daughter as well. Kindly provide your opinion. Excluded in Connecticut. Dear Excluded, excluding your daughter so glaringly guarantees that your nephew and his wife will never get to know her. However, you cannot and should not attempt to control your nephew's guest list by threatening not to attend if your daughter isn't invited. If you would feel uncomfortable accepting the invitation under these circumstances, send your regrets on the RSVP card. If you are asked why you won't be coming, feel free to express yourself then. Dear Abby, I have been in a relationship for almost a year. We connected in a way I have never felt before, and I tried to stay away from him. He's married, and his wife was diagnosed with cancer last year. I have tried to end things 3 times so he could focus on his family, but he keeps coming back to me and begging me to wait, give him time and not abandon him. I feel so guilty for the things I want from him because of his wife's condition. I don't know what to do. I want to be with him, but I don't want to cause his family to struggle more on top of everything else. Please help. Difficult situation. Dear situation, if you are sincere about not wanting to cause this man's family more pain, step away now. His wife should be the focus of his attention. If this relationship is the real thing, it can be restarted when he is free from the responsibility he assumed when he promised, "Until death do us part." Jacqueline Biggers Stars by Madeline Aslan. Note, Biggers Stars is based on the degree of your sun at birth. The sun sign is simply a label astrologers put on a set of degrees for convenience. For best results, readers should refer to the dates following each sign. A baby born today has a sun in Taurus and a moon in Libra until 3:05 a.m. when the moon enters Scorpio. Happy birthday for Wednesday, May 6, 2020. Astute, sensitive you has already had to overcome a great deal and so are better equipped to deal with the year ahead than most. You make this a year of success, and it will smile on you. If single, many fall in love with you, and you have your choice of suitor. There can be a link to someone considerably older or younger. If attached, you are compulsive in your loving, and your partner reciprocates. Pisces loves to snuggle. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 5 stars. Absorbed as you are with research work, the pieces of the puzzle fall into place today. The grand mystery is solved. Living arrangements are a source of tension, but you rise above as you are about to enter a whole new phase. Tonight, bravo. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 4 stars. Surprises are in store today. Not Taurus's favorite thing. You like stability, but this is ultimately positive. Do not worry if an old relationship ends abruptly. Something better will be waiting in the wings. Patience, on your part, averts a confrontation. Tonight, stay cozy. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Stay warm enough and do not let inactivity or stress undermine your fitness. You are a little irritable with and critical of a coworker. Work on tolerance and releasing stress. It is a putzing around day, trying to organize things. Tonight, celebrate yourself. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. There's much excitement today. There will be some deep attraction, with some meaningful romantic interludes. Rather than you taking this as a weather report, do something about it with a loved one. Mysterious, unpredictable, and talented as they are. Tonight, add more fun to the moment. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 5 stars. Your future security will be determined by how you cherish and nurture the gifts given to you. Today you get hints about future financial needs and long-term economic conditions. Write them down. They are very valuable. Tonight, spend priceless time with a child. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Strive for clear communication. A neighbor becomes more important. Resist the temptation to try juggling too many projects at once. Today the tension subsides, and it will be easier to focus. This brings positive experiences your way. Tonight, check up on a sibling or old pal. Libra, September 23 through October 22, 3 stars. You prefer understated elegance, and you do not want to appear wealthy. However, your natural good taste and appreciation for life's luxuries can make your overhead high. Patience is an important step in developing your long-range financial plan today. Tonight, early bedtime. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21, 4 stars. Your winning personality will open doors today. Your curiosity is aroused and you tend to probe. An old mystery is solved as a result. Your energy level increases, making it easier to exercise and express creative ideas. Tonight, read an Agatha Christie book or watch a film adaptation. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21, 4 stars. Long-time blockages and phobias are clearing, thanks to the extreme times we are in. A sense of freedom and confidence builds today, and you work well alone. Wrap up in a cozy robe and burn the midnight oil on a work or creative project. Tonight, the results will be truly brilliant. Capricorn, December 23 through January 19, 4 stars. Support comes from friends today. Involvement with organizations is rewarding. A friend will boost your confidence with encouraging suggestions. A sense of déjà vu is especially vivid and brings insights about future goals. Tonight, celebrate with a virtual dinner with friends. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18, 5 stars. There can be some professional politics at play. You will want to boost your earning power, but you must be patient with finances. Suddenly, pressure and anger will resolve. There is a sense of peace about your reputation. Circulate using technology. Tonight, a success. Pisces, February 19 through March 20, 5 stars. Those foreign-born might appeal strongly. Such individuals might have a major impact on your thinking, so much so that you can expect deep change within your personal philosophies. A child is excited to tell you something. Tonight, beware power struggles over beliefs. Born today, psychologist Sigmund Freud, 1856, actor Orson Welles, 1915, baseballer Willie Mays, 1931.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.